and welcome to this International Airport Review podcast about San Francisco International Airport sustainability initiatives. Here we caught up with Erin Cook, the Sustainability Director at SFO, and Courtney Carew, the airport's net zero lead. In the first part of this two-part series, Erin and Courtney talk about SFO's work with sustainable aviation fuels and hydrogen and how the green efforts of the airport simultaneously protect the workforce. Keep an ear out for the second part of this podcast, where we will question if San Francisco International Airport are doing enough to control residual emissions and pollutants while also getting an insight into the community relations. Remember to subscribe to International Airport Review's podcast channel to be notified of all future podcasts. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining our podcast. In today's episode, I am joined by Erin Cook, the Sustainability Director at San Francisco International Airport, otherwise shortened as SFO, and Courtney Carew, the Net Zero Lead at SFO Airport, to discuss some of the airport's sustainability initiatives. Erin has worked in this role for the past 7 years, and her responsibilities include developing sustainability policies and making SFO's operations economically viable and environmentally sustainable. As a net zero lead, Courtney is primarily responsible for SFO's emissions inventory and reporting. She works on transportation, energy, and other decarbonization policies to achieve the airport's goal of net zero carbon by 2030. In this podcast, we will be doing a deep dive into SFO's zero carbon and zero net energy plans to hear the positive contributions they are making to emissions-free transport technology. We will also be analysing the progress SFO have made in capping emissions all the way from the 1970s until now and questioning if they are doing enough. So do be sure to stick around until the end to hear all about it. Let's get started. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you. We're happy to be here. This is great.
Thanks for having us.
No worries. Yeah, so I guess my first question to you is, could you give us an update on any new projects or sustainability initiatives SFO are undertaking? I'm sure the audience knows about the many sustainability projects of SFO, like making buildings energy efficient and reducing waste at terminals. So I'd like to know about anything new.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Really happy to answer those questions and to chat a little bit more about our sustainability journey, which is obviously very much eternally evolving. So SFO has been on a journey to achieve net zero, so zero carbon, zero energy, zero waste, and zero water since about 2018. And we're really pursuing this deep path of decarbonization, which is helps us really identify key projects, policies, and initiatives that are a nexus between carbon and energy, and also really heavy focus on what are the co-benefits of those initiatives. So our airport is really not just focused on the greenhouse gas emissions mitigation, but also the criteria air pollutant reductions that can improve the health of our workers and all of the passengers that come into and from our airport. So some of the new initiatives that we have in that space are heavily focused on really, again, improving that worker health and safety. So that for us is both indoors and outdoors. So outdoors, I know we'll talk about this a little bit later in the podcast, but it really matters what our surfaces are paved as so that we can really think about a little bit more about the heat concentrations and the materiality of what's in our airfield. SFO has about 8,000 people that work in our airfield. So we want to make sure we can improve their working conditions, and paving with alternative materials or having green infrastructure inside can really, or outside, can really improve those surfaces and really reduce the heat and improve worker health and safety, but also conditions. And then on top of that, obviously what we put in our jet engines are the things that those individuals are breathing while they're out on our airfield, while they're using, you know, baggage handlers, are loading bags, driving baggage tugs, and so on across the apron. So that's why we have also been incredibly focused on sustainable aviation fuel, which can reduce those greenhouse gas emissions, but also criteria air pollutants by up to 50%. So I would say those are our primary objectives. Beyond that, we are also an airport that is now heavily focused on climate resilience. So our decarbonization work is obviously incredibly focused on removing fossil fuels and improving the greenhouse gas emissions and SFO's direct contribution to climate change. But we know that we're not alone in those contributions. And you know, it includes many corporations, airlines, airports, others that are contributing to climate change overall through their emissions. So recognizing that we are already have the preconditions of climate change, extreme precipitation, sea level rise, storm surge, extreme heat days, as well as very poor air quality days due to increasing wildfires. 2 years ago, we actually had about 2,000 active wildfires in Northern California that we were working to address. So we are also just ensuring the endurance of our campus by getting more climate resilient. So understanding which facilities and operations are critical, understanding how we can ensure the continuity of operations and services, and then basically building out a capital program where there are deficits in the continuity of service to ensure a more robust suite of infrastructure assets. So that's going to be everything from adding solar PV to microgrids to load managing all of our different energy assets across campus. So that, again, our contribution to climate change is low, but also our endurance, resilience, resistance to climate change is growing and scaling over time.
Wow, thank you. That's a pretty like comprehensive understanding of like there's so many initiatives that are sort of like in place. So thanks for that update. I think you had mentioned it in regards to SAF. So I'd like to speak to you a bit more about this. And I know that it sort of falls under SFO's Zero Carbon Project. And so could you tell me a bit more about the Zero Carbon Project's origins and what SFO have had to do with zero carbon as well?
Yeah, I can take that. So SFO has a goal of reaching net zero carbon emissions by 2030, as outlined by our strategic plan. And we define this as reducing our airport controlled emissions, so that's our scope 1 and 2, as much as possible, so that they're less than or equal to the emissions that we sequester on site. And we have been releasing an emissions inventory via our climate action plan since 2011, I believe, and have been annually doing it. Our most recent one has just released for this latest year. And so this goal for net zero carbon is in line with our city and county of San Francisco. We're a department of them. Their goal is net zero carbon by 2040. It's also in line with the state of California's goal of carbon neutrality by 2045, and also in line with the United Nations Paris Agreement, which is the legally binding treaty on climate change to reduce global emissions to below 2 degrees Celsius compared to pre-industrial levels. So to reach net zero carbon, really a big part of that is electrifying our buildings on campus. About 92% of our scope 1 emissions come from natural gas usage. And so a key part of reaching net zero will be swapping our current central utilities plant for an all-electric zero-emission central utilities plant in line with the city and county of San Francisco's all-electric building requirement. So we're aiming to do that by 2030, which will really reduce the majority of our emissions. And I should mention our scope 2 emissions from electricity have been zero since 2012, since we've been purchasing carbon-free electricity from our Public Utilities Commission. And then in addition to building electrification, our other main scope 1 strategies to reaching net zero carbon are electrifying our fleets or using alternate transportation fuels. We're aiming for 100% zero-emission vehicle fleet by 2030. And currently, our heavy-duty vehicles operate on renewable diesel and landfill-derived compressed natural gas, leaving only our light-duty vehicles powered by fossil fuels. And we've released a zero-emissions vehicle readiness roadmap that kind of outlines a strategy of how we're going to expand the use of ZEVs campus-wide and provide the infrastructure to support those vehicles. And then our last strategy, or one of our last main ones for reaching net zero carbon, will be looking at low global warming potential refrigerants. So like I mentioned, we're looking at a new all-electric central utilities plant, and that design would also consider the use of low global warming potential refrigerants. Additionally, also looking at working with our facilities team, mechanical maintenance, to see how we can reduce refrigerant leaks so that we are able to reach net zero.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Courtney. And thanks for explaining that. It seems to me that there's so many elements that SFO are working on to mitigate some of their environmental impact. And it's interesting to hear that Zero Carbon's project did have its origins in like policies and regulations set out by the Paris Agreement. So thank you for that. And, you know, as seems to be the case, working with SAF is nothing new for SFO. In the past, the airport has led coalitions to lobby SAF incentives, is co-writing a playbook exploring the expansion of the SAF market, and assigned memorandums of understandings promoting SAF infrastructure. Why is it important to SFO that they take such a lead in this industry? And are there any upcoming SAF-related projects that you can maybe tell us about?
Yeah, I mean, I think as, you know, folks that are incredibly mission-driven and ethically motivated to do all that we can to help reduce the emissions and the impact of the organizations that we serve, which I know me and my team, and then certainly every single person that works for the airport is, it's honestly incredibly novel to have a silver bullet, a single solution that can really be the solve for the crisis that we are all trying to avert. So the beautiful thing about aviation is that SAF is that silver bullet. It is the opportunity that we all have to be highly focused on, really solving for in order to get it in all of our jet engines to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions impact of aviation and to improve the air quality that relates to, again, the combustion of an engine, of a fuel in an engine that has no filter. So for us, you know, SFO has really been all in on sustainable aviation fuel since 2018. You mentioned a lot of the initiatives that are underway. I am honored and so proud to see that the state of California is incredibly motivated. It adopted its own SAF goals following the bill that you mentioned that SFO helped co-author with the SAF coalition, and then also is now kind of grown into a SAF grand challenge that we are working to support at the national level, the goal of getting 3 billion gallons of SAF in the United States by 2030. However, the world only produced 20 million gallons of SAF last year, and SFO gobbled up about 12 million gallons of that. So there is a really long way to go to get mostly SAF to cost parity so that it can be more competitive. And the only way that we're going to get that is really by scaling up and helping all of these incredibly innovative producers create more fuel. So more fuel, more supply can drive down that price. And that's really where we need to get to. So for SFO, that involves several things. We are actually updating our 2018 study right now to look at whether or not there should be other infrastructure investments we need to make to continue to have SFO receive the highest volume of SAF to date, because SAF is a drop-in fuel. And as soon as it's blended at 50%, it meets our 1655 spec. But we feel like there is a future where SAF will be 100%. So looking at some of the stranded energy assets or conventional supply assets that are near or adjacent to our campus is incredibly compelling. It also can help increase the resilience of our airport campus by having additional tanks, additional pipelines, and so on. So from an infrastructure perspective, we're focused there. And then separately, similar to some of our colleagues in Copenhagen and Seattle, we're trying to figure out how we can make an investment that is additive and is not duplicative of basically the offtakes that already exist by corporates to buy greenhouse gas emissions reduction. So what we're actually looking to at SFO and are really hoping to team up with the FAA through a VAIL grant, the Voluntary Low Emission Reductions Program, is to make a direct investment in the air quality benefits that arise on our campus by uplifting SAF that I mentioned at the beginning of the call. SFO is a Title V or an EPA regulated campus because we have generators that create emissions when we test them. And so we're obligated to buy NOx and particulate matter offsets from an open market. And we don't want to do that. We want to be able to buy those benefits on campus from SAF that is uplifted here. So we are very much hoping to put those dollars towards the SAF market by working with our producers and our airlines to buy a new air quality environmental attribute and really set up a market to do so. So I would say stay tuned. There probably will be other announcements related to that, some trials coming online. And we hope this is going to be an opportunity for airports globally to make good on the air quality impacts that arise because of the existence of our campus, and also to show that we are directly investing in those air quality improvements that affect our world, affect our airfield workers, and affect the communities that surround us.
Promoting that circular economy. So the next thing I wanted to ask you is, does the airport have any plans for hydrogen?
Great question. Yeah, so I mean, I think there is very strong consensus in North America that SAF is the way forward, and we agree. We want to make sure that we continue to really double down on the investments in sustainable aviation fuel because it requires no rapid conversion of the aircraft fleet that is serving our airport today. However, we know that our peers in Europe have made really strong headway in designing and thinking about the airport of the future to serve the OEMs, largely Airbus, that is rapidly redesigning aircraft to be hydrogen and or all hybrid or all electric. So SFO feels like we should not be doing that alone. It doesn't make sense for us to think about just the redesign of our airport singularly, because an aircraft that takes off from here needs to land somewhere else. And so what we've done is we've actually joined the local universities through the UC, University of California campus, Department of Energy, and a variety of others to form what's called the Alliance for Renewable Clean Energy Systems, or ARCHES, is a California initiative to work on really accelerating renewable hydrogen projects and the necessary infrastructure. The goal here is to really help support a full-scale transition to a zero-carbon economy across the state of California by focusing on, obviously, environmental and energy justice, equity, and really improving the quality of life of our communities by creating green jobs, green careers, through lifting up really this new hydrogen economy. And we were lucky enough to receive a Department of Energy grant at $1.2 billion last year, the largest in our state's history. And so I think through that, you will see that there are a series of different hubs that evolve. Not surprisingly, the Bay Area will be one for aviation. I co-chair the aviation working group of ARCHES, but we will see one also in the LA airshed, LA basin. And the goal really will be to serve the second largest airspace or air service pathway in the country, which is SFO to LAX, with hydrogen in the future. So we will be looking at what the infrastructure is required, both upstream from the energy source and energy provision to the distribution of hydrogen on our campus, realizing it will require a strong transition from the fossil fuel hydrogen system that we have today, to really thinking about how we bring on and conserve those hydrogen aircraft. And we will be doing that really as a playbook and a program that can be used really anywhere in the country and anywhere in the world.
Okay. So as I understand it, it's still in their initial stages, but there's a lot more, there's a lot of excitement and willingness to put in the effort for this to be successful.
Absolutely. And federal level investment on California.
Of course.
So
yeah.
We like to say where goes California, there goes, so goes the world. So expect again, a good model out of California. I think you can also say that for Europe. We're lagging behind in a lot of the carbon related initiatives. So we got to catch up, California.
Of course. So I'd also like to know, according to your zero net energy plan, the airport aims to generate and store renewable energy on site. So just to be a bit more clear about some of the initiatives under these plans, could you explain to our audience what these energies are and what the process of generating renewable energy on site kind of looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So our net zero energy plan, also how we really like did a lot in 2018 to 2020. So I was, again, very lucky to come in and join just an incredibly intelligent team that had been building up and really was inspired to deliver great plans that we could execute on. So we are very much in the execution stage of our renewables program right now. We have completed a distributed energy resource study for the airport that looks at basically where can we put solar? How can we maximize its potential without blinding our pilots? And so what we've identified is that we need to really grow from 4 megawatts that we have here today to about 55 megawatts. We can generate about that much on campus. However, that will absolutely only be available to serve about 20% of our total energy use. So we have a long way to go. However, that's 20% of our total energy use. So some things that, you know, may seem less exciting to the general public is just the focus on, we call it the negawatt. So Really recognizing that we need to focus more on high performance buildings and getting to deep efficiency through monitoring and analytics-based energy management on our campuses. So lots of airports, we are not alone, love to make deep investments in the really exciting projects like our terminals. So SFO has about 18 million square feet of building space, 6 million of those are in our terminals. Every time we bring a new terminal online, we're bringing it online by using usually a quarter to a third of the amount of energy that its predecessor buildings did. So amazing amount of energy transformation. However, we still have about 12 million square feet of buildings that need to be recommissioned or retrocommissioned so that they can get to their optimal performance. So that's really what our net zero energy study did, is it said, based upon industry standards, for a hangar, for a warehouse, for an office building, what is the optimal energy performance of that building? And how far away is its current operations in order to get to that optimal performance? So we are lifting up a team to really go around and look at every one of our buildings, understand how low can we go, how much less energy can we use in each of those spaces. And then we will be working on activating those renewables on campus, which probably will meet 50 or 60 or even 70% of our total energy use, because we will have cut those electrons that serve our campus. And then we are also looking at a lot of on-site load management. So these electric assets that we're bringing on campus, our electric vehicle charging stations, have the ability to both store energy as well as draw energy. So things like bi-directional power of mobile batteries are definitely things we're looking to operationalize. Our buses themselves are mobile battery banks that we want to be able to serve our critical assets and our critical facilities. And we want to generate power from our buildings in order to serve and solve for the energy deficits that we have on campus. So that's still on site. I think what we're also considering is, are there creative plays for us to look beyond our campus and maybe partner with local communities? Are there opportunities to site renewables in adjacent communities that we haven't considered? California is a very interesting energy market. We have a lot of community choice energy programs where those programs are actually run outside of our investor-owned utilities, and they're always looking for opportunities to invest in local sources of renewables to bring to their community. So I think there's a tremendous opportunity for us to team up with a Peninsula Clean Energy as our local utility, even the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission, who's looking to site solar power in the city and county of San Francisco. Again, I think there's tons of opportunities on the horizon, and we're looking forward to pursuing them once we get our house in order, once we drive down our own operational energy and can get to that optimum peak performance of all of our 18 million square feet of building space.
Right. Thank you for that, Erin. Now, moving on to a more sort of, I guess, financially technical question. I've had a look at some of these costs in the plan, and they are quite high. So, for instance, updating to a heat recovery chiller plant will cost SFO $670 million, and purchasing off-site renewable energy will cost the airport $139 million as part of their zero net energy plan. So where will SFO create this revenue, and how will it be financially sustainable for SFO, especially when some of these initiatives, like the latter I've mentioned, won't necessarily generate a profit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, great question. One we are certainly confronting today and always. I think, you know, maybe the first response is that we at SFO do not look at first cost. We really look at the total cost of ownership. So it's really about transforming the mindset and our financial models to think about what it costs to not just purchase, but to operate and maintain and to yield the benefits that we as a campus have committed to as an airport that has a mission statement that's focused on delivering support and services for people and planet. So whenever we are looking at an investment, we look at that total cost of ownership through the lens of doing a triple bottom line, like a cost, life cycle cost benefit. So it gives us the results that are in metrics that relate to improvements in social capital, improvements in jobs, improvements in the environmental impact. So reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, improvement or reduction in criteria air pollutants. And so when we are speaking to our finance community and when we are speaking to our airlines, which are ultimately our investors, we're speaking in those total cost of ownership metrics so they have a better sense of what the total investment outcome will be for the airport. when we are looking at just the simple direct investment that we do need to make, yeah, being able to access capital is incredibly important for us. We are lucky in right now we have incredible leadership at the federal level with our president who has enacted a variety of different programs, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, the bipartisan infrastructure law, and so on, that has actually yielded about $700 million in grants to SFO over the course of his tenure. So I think we have an incredible opportunity and we'll continue to drive grant dollars and federal investment in SFO because SFO is an airport that, again, is not just focused on infrastructure. We're focused on social, environmental, and economic outcomes for those infrastructure investments, which really align with the ethic and the purpose of those grants that have been made at a federal level. In addition to that, we are really looking to attract new financial instruments that we haven't previously because at times the investments that we've made that have had sustainability outcomes have been disparate and have not been well recorded or I think aligned with some of those new financial markets, things like green bonds. However, SFO is working and has brought a team together to do our first ESG report this year. So we're focusing on environmental, social governance outcomes as an organization overall. We were not surprised to find that in many cases, we were doing tons of different ESG related reports, but not an integrated report. But we're doing that so we can speak to the financial community, to investors, to insurance agencies, and to account standards bodies on how SFO is making good on its mission statement and its social, environmental, and financial impact purpose generally, but also in the new projects that we want to wholeheartedly make investments in. And those projects themselves are very much focused on really strong sustainability outcomes. So as you mentioned, our Electric Central plant, that entire project is just based on obviously improving the safety and security and longevity of our campus. But at the end of the day, we'll reduce about 82% of our emissions. So easy, we hope to access a green bond in order to enable that, similar to what we're doing on a recycled water treatment plant right now that has already gotten a federal level grant. So yeah, more to come on accessing grants and then certainly using these new financial instruments.
Right. So it's about getting access to grants and green bonds to facilitate these projects. And actually, speaking to you, it doesn't seem that these figures are anything that actually holds the airport back. You kind of see it as an investment into the airport's community, their sustainability projects. And so it's more about the benefits that yields more than what it actually costs, which is enlightening to hear. Thank you for listening to the first part of this International Airport Review podcast series. Remember to subscribe to the magazine and podcast channel to be notified every time a new podcast is posted. Make sure you come back soon to hear the finale of this podcast series.